Anybody have any response or high points to Pentecost?
Ezekiel's vision.
Huh?
Ezekiel's vision.
Yeah, that's a high point to me.
Quite a high point.
Mine was Nick's baptism, but.
Talk to him anymore?
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any thoughts about Pentecost?
Yeah, it was one of the most beautiful weekends.
What does that mean?
From Nick's baptism, our baptism, the adults, the youth, our children, the dedication of the kids, the whole weekend was really beautiful. It was a great space, a great place.
Okay.
It was an extraordinarily special weekend.
I want to talk about, we're going to take a side trip this morning. I want to talk about Psalm 116 and it's in John's targum of it in the song and then the scriptures that are related to it. So let's go to Psalm 116. Start in verse 12. Well, let's go back up to 10. I'm sorry. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste, all men are liars. Now, the mystery of it is, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I tried not to speak for a long time in that scripture where it became a burning fire in his bones if you didn't speak. Anyway, that's not the one we're going to study. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, that's an incredible scripture, and it doesn't mean when you physically die and are buried. That wouldn't be precious in his sight. But precious in his sight are when you die in the Lord. It seems like everything else is silly, philosophy. And so we're going to look at the scriptures that are related to that. Let's go to Psalm 72. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Now, what that means, it's the same as precious is your death. I mean, when you, so the idea that his blood, your blood, is precious is because it signifies your death. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's go to Ecclesiastes. No, Psalm 116. We just went there, never mind. Go to Ecclesiastes 4. Everybody remember where Ecclesiastes is? We'll see.
Yes, right here.
Let's see. So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead which are already dead more than the living which are yet alive. Now, the phrase "praise the dead which are already dead," in my opinion, means everything we've said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's go to Romans 6. Now we're doing this only because I feel like it. There's nothing.
Why?
Huh?
Because why?
Because I feel like it. There's no, I'm not trying to gig anybody or anything like that. Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We are buried, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen? So this is why the baptism was so important. All right, go to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now righteousness, we have a million ways of proving we're not dead. One of them is self-redemption. And we've seen that exposed in 1,000 times over the years. One of them is running around giving people money. Another would be your goal in life is to help people. All of these things that you think are so good and so valuable are expressions of self-redemption. That's why the baptism was so important and the counting of the Omer was so important, because you came out of the gates, the 49 gates of impurity, and every one of those gates of impurity was something that you thought was good. And that was then certified in baptism, just like the death of sin took place on the cross. The death of what you think is good took place on your baptism. Anybody understand that? All right, let's look at Colossians 3. There are many others, but I'm just getting the high points. Verse 20, 2:20, I'm sorry. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrine of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. In other words, all these things that religion does in will worship are the expression that you have not died. You understand that? You understand what will worship is? I hope so. One more. Revelation 14.
Why don't we talk about it?
Huh?
Why don't we talk about it?
What will worship is? What do you think? Will anybody? Tell me what will worship is.
Rules, regulations, time, place, space, society.
Convention. Well, all those, you're talking in riddles. What does that mean? Society.
The norms of the world, what's going on.
Well, that has nothing to do with God.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying will worship. Worship has the idea of worshiping God. How do you worship God? Will worship of worshiping God would be the difference between Cain and Abel. Abel offered the lamb, which he saw was the type of Christ. Cain dug around in the dirt trying to find something to grow out of himself that he would give to God as worship. I'm going to give my talents to God. Or I'm a great singer, so I'm going to sing for God. Or I'm a great administrator, so I'm an administrator, whatever. Anything you do that comes from your flesh, that is, that you have decided you're going to give to God, is will worship. What is this bleating of the sheep I hear in my ears? Remember? And they save that which was good. Right, and the reason the reason I don't identify those 49 gates is because for each person it's different what those 49 gates of impurity are. For some it's cleanliness. For me it's no labels. You know, I have thousand things. Remember, that's the whole idea of the worship in the world was order and cleanliness. That's why the plagues so destroy, especially the plague of flies, destroyed their worship. Now, I mean, I promise you, if you look around, most what we know as Christian churches, they're orderly and clean. Because that's what you do. You have to, if you're going to give to God, you have to put on your best clothes, you have to put on your best behavior, and you have to keep the place neat and clean. For Harriet, and for me, it's the blinds that are out of order. It's just all kinds of stupid stuff that we do that none of it would stand the time or test of eternity.
Touch not, taste not, handle not. Don't spindle, staple, or mutilate.
All right, Revelation 14. What?
Cut the tag off your mattress.
Oh, your mattress.
I think it goes all the way to the doctor, where you get a real kind of pull your doctrine together, and then it becomes more important than anything.
Give me an example.
Well, mixed denominations. They glom on to a certain few, and then they worship around that, and the worship of the words, which is more important than the life of Christ in them, and that's will worship. And it's so righteous, so holy, because it's out of the book, that anybody who violates that is worthy of death. They used to kill people, I think, for that. They probably still do. We don't see it much, but I suspect it happens.
Well, the reason I said, you show me an example, is that Paul talks about being faithful to the doctrine into which we have been delivered. Mm-hmm. That doctrine is the cross. So that's probably the singular. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Yeah, there's a conundrum there, because to be faithful to that, you have to pick up the cross.
Of course.
So.
All right, Revelation 14. This is the last one. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Your works lead you, it's axiomatic that you are not dead in the Lord. Anyone want to give me an example of their works leading them? And this is not, we're not just talking about religious works here, we're talking about everything. Anybody's works lead them?
Is that like planning? Is that what
blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So if your works lead you, that means you have an image of what you're going to do, and you plan to do it. You have an agenda. And that plan and that agenda, even that budget, becomes your idol. And that's the axiomatic that you haven't died in the Lord. Well, how can you live? You have to plan. That's what everybody says to me. No, you don't. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought about the day, for all the days are evil. How can you live that way? How can that be? That's all there is repentance, because every person, their works lead them.
Yeah.
But God forbid, if you know that, and see, yet you continue in sin in order that grace may abound. Have the courage to say the works aren't going to lead me. This is a toughie. This is about as tough as it gets.
When you spend a whole lifetime doing it the other way, maybe it's worth taking a chance.
Well, I'm telling you, there's no maybe about it. I had my life planned out to every option. My PERT chart looked like a road map to hell. Run for office. If I win, do this. If I lose, do that. Then blah, blah, blah. Every bump, 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 bump. I know a lot about that kind of life. And how do you live? How do you do it? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, yea, from henceforth, that they may rest from their labors. And really, it should be his works follow instead of your works. This is a biggie. This is a perfect example of Trinity Foundation, the exact existence of it back in the 70s. It was dead because our works were leading us. Praise God, we waited and waited and waited. I beg of you, don't take this lightly. I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Amen? Anybody have any response to it?
Joy.
It takes a lot of repentance because it's automatic to plan. What do you do then? You're faithful to what is set before you. And you live by faith. That is empowered by love. You meet whatever need is set before you. All right, take a big guy. See, I now I got rollover minutes just now.